Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are live at one of our homes away from home, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 and Santa Fe. It is the end of the month, which is a great time to buy a car or truck. Brogdon has the best deals around, 17 Yukon XL Denali, 0% for 72 months and $6,000 off. Come see us here at I-35 and Santa Fe. See them online at robertbrogdon.com. We talk some baseball, and I love the I think all of us at least have a little bit of contrarian in us, and everybody rooting for big home run numbers again. Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger off to a great start. And one man is willing to rain on the parade. His name is Jason Foster from Sporting News, their Major League Baseball editor. Jason, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I love your piece because I agree with you. Everybody always wants to be the first to proclaim greatness. And so if anybody gets off to a hot start or has a good rookie year, you know, they're going to be the first to hit 1,000 home runs. They're going to break the home run record. And you have simply stepped up and said, look, Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger are off to great starts, but they're not going to hit 50. And there's a reason why no rookie has. What's your theory on why they're not going to now?
Well, a simple way to put it is that, you know, there's a long way to go in the season. And baseball history has shown us that, like you said, no rookie has ever hit 50. Only Mark McGwire even came close with 49 in 1987. And a big reason for rookies is just because the season is a grind. And most often when people get off to these hot starts and people start talking about history and breaking records, the grind almost always wins. You know, you have players that just they get fatigued when you get into the dog days, or they get these little nagging injuries that affect their, you know, they make them lose a step or just lose just a little something on their swing that causes them to regress a little bit. So you're right. The column was just me being contrarian because, you know, sometimes it's fun to be contrary, but it seems to me that a lot of people with Judge and Bellinger have started to kind of cross over into that wishful thinking about how, you know, Judge could be the next 60 homer guy or whatever. So the column was just me kind of saying, hey, let's not go overboard. There's a long way to go, and these guys are probably going to level off soon.
And I will say, when you see Aaron Judge, he looks like a superhuman. I mean, he looks like a superhero. And Bellinger's not small at 6'4", 210, but Judge at the 6'7", 287. Seven or whatever they're, you know, 282, whatever they're claiming he's at, he does look larger than life. So I kind of get the comic book nature of everybody going there. But like, are you and like you said, well, it's probably me being contrarian. I said that. I don't think so. I think it's you being rational. And I'll tell you why. The career home run season, career home run high water mark for Aaron Judge. If people would like go to a couple of websites, it's happening right now. He's already at his career high for home runs in a single season. A guy who never in the minor leagues hit more than 20 home runs is now going to attack 60. I mean, that says to me there's a hole in this guy's swing that somebody's not exploiting. And Cody Bellinger is only slightly different in the sense that he's got 24 right now. His career high for home runs in a single season is 30. So he's six away from it. And by the way, that came in A ball. He did have 26 over in AA and AAA last year. But I mean, and not that guys don't continue to progress and get better as time goes on, but just to think that in their rookie year, they're going to, against big league pitching, they're going to double what they've ever done in the minor leagues is kind of farcical, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the Yankees White Sox game the other night, and the Yankees announcers were just talking about, you know, how no one expected Judge to be putting on this kind of performance, and there was no evidence whatsoever that he was going to, in the span of one offseason, cut down on strikeouts the way he has and just increase his contact rate, not just contact, but, you know, hitting homers. So everyone is surprised, and I agree with you. It probably is a matter of – it's probably a combination of two things. He has improved as a hitter, but also pitchers haven't fully adjusted to their in their approach to him. And so once that happens, once he goes into some natural regression, is when you're going to see him and probably Bellinger as well kind of level off. And as I mentioned in my column, I always think back in a situation like this to Mark McGwire in 87 when, if you recall, he had 33 homers at the All-Star break as a rookie. And just like now, there were columns written and talking heads on TV would say he's on pace to break Roger Maris's record, which at the time was 61. And there was just this swell of enthusiasm around Mark McGwire because it was a good story, and he did kind of come out of nowhere. But then in the second half, he leveled off, he regressed, and he finished with 49 homers. And there have been other guys, not just rookies, but in Reggie Jackson's, I think it was his second full season maybe, he had 37 homers at the All-Star break, and people were talking about him, and he finished with just 47. So there's a long way to go in this season, and you know, so many things can happen. I mean, guys can get pitched around, they can get injured, they can just get fatigued. So, yeah, I guess it's – my column was me just kind of being realistic, saying
yeah.
I hate to be the wet blanket, but – let's have some perspective here.
Yeah, and I love your the way you phrased it. What was it? Double up itis.
Yeah, just double it itis.
Yeah, just double it itis. Right. About how you know, we look at it and go, oh, at 81 games, just double it. That's where they're going to finish. Well, no, if they're you basically should turn over the back of their card, their baseball card for us old people that know baseball cards, should turn it over, take a look at it, and if they're well ahead of their pace, they're going to slow down. And if they're well below their normal pace, then they're going to speed up. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, you know, guys don't just hit a home run. You know, you put in there, I think there's a graphic, as I recall, that shows their home runs per at bat, and Judge is like every nine something, and Bellinger's just below nine on how often they hit a home run per at bat. Well, it's not, you know, once every three games. I mean, it just doesn't work that way that you can do it. That's just not how the math of it works. We're talking to Jason Foster from Sporting News, who wrote the piece about where they will get to, both Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger. Let me throw something else out there. You mentioned the steroid era a number of times in the column and about how, you know, how far McGwire and Bonds went and where they were at their home run paces in those years that we're all quite confident that they had a little help along the way, that they were on steroids. Why is it, you talk about how the people who write columns about these things, why is it that the people who write columns just slamming Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds when the steroid era comes around are now not asking the question, is Aaron Judge on something? Is Cody Bellinger on something? I mean, I'm amazed because I consider myself part of the media that slept through the steroid era. We all knew it. I knew in college, we joked about Brady Anderson being on stuff when I was in college when he hit 50 home runs. We all joked about Mark McGwire and what he was on during the era and that Barry Bonds, how big he was. But nobody really went after him until the two writers behind Game of Shadows really went after and detailed exactly how Barry Bonds was doing it with the steroids. And everybody then rushed, and they were ready to slam Rafael Palmeiro for lying in front of Congress or allegedly lying in front of Congress and slam all those people. And now we sit here today. David Ortiz is a folk hero. He was in the Mitchell Report as having tested positive. Nobody cares anymore. We have these seasons that come out of nowhere. Nobody wants to be the one to say, hey, we should at least wonder, is there a new designer drug that doesn't show up on the testing? Let me tell you something. I'm not burying my head in the sand anymore. Anybody who comes from off the charts and does something that's ridiculous power-wise, I'm going to pose the question of, are they on steroids? Because it was not posing that question, as one by one these guys popped up, that gave us the quote-unquote steroid epidemic, which now has what I think are hypocrites not voting these guys into the Hall of Fame, which is a joke. And so with Aaron Judge, is it just because he's a New York guy and the New York media is gutless and they want to celebrate things and it won't sell papers right now because you're upsetting the Yankee fans that nobody has the balls to ask the question, are these guys on something?
I think it's probably a combination of factors. Probably the most forceful one being that I think collectively media and fans just want to believe that steroids are behind us. And even though guys keep getting popped for it, you know, two or three a year, I think we kind of collectively assume that people have stopped using because they fear that they're going to get caught because testing is random and as we saw with Eric Thames earlier this season, when you do come out of nowhere now and you start hitting homers, they want to start testing you. And I don't know whether they've tested Aaron Judge or Cody Bellinger. I feel like we would have heard it if they had. But I also think that people just get caught up in a good story. And like you mentioned earlier, I mean, Aaron Judge is a huge guy. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could start hitting a lot of homers. If it was maybe, you know, someone like a Jacoby Ellsbury who was doing it, it would be a different story. But I just think that collectively we kind of think that steroids are over, or we're afraid or nervous to go through all that again, maybe afraid to ask the questions because we might find something. And I just think people like a good story, and they would rather keep telling the story than, you know, ruin the story by saying, hey, this guy might be on steroids. But I agree with you. It's completely fair to wonder because we're only really, you know, 15 years removed from the end of the steroid era. So it's still fresh in a lot of people's minds. So it's fair to ask the question, and baseball is still testing these guys. And as we see every now and then, some guys get popped and get suspended. But I also think you have to look in the context of the whole season. And home runs are way up across the board this season. And, that, you know, it's another one of those years when no one knows exactly why, but everyone's saying, you know, the ball is juiced or whatever. But across baseball, home runs are way up. And I think if the trend continues this season, we're going to end up with more than 6,000 homers, which would destroy the previous record, which was just under 5,700. But who knows why it's happening? It could be one of those years where we never really figured out, but most people will think it's pretty fun to watch. I think it's fun to watch, but I agree with you. There's always in the back of my mind the question of, is this legitimate?
Yeah, absolutely there is. And I'm convinced that there's some really, really, really impressive health food store in Toronto. Because everybody who goes to the Jays can suddenly rake. And, you know, one of the things Jose Canseco, who was laughed at when he blew the whistle on things, and he has become a farce as a guy all around, which makes him not a good source. But, you know, he kind of detailed the culture of how it worked with the Rangers. And it was kind of like that's why I'm just waiting for the story to break up in Toronto, that one by one guys come to that team and you're like, hey, what are you doing over there? What are you taking over there? And it may be nothing. Maybe it's a training regimen. Maybe it's I remember Carlos Beltran when he was in Kansas City, went out and personally bought a machine. Somebody he'd heard about, somebody had this machine that they hit off of, and he broke out the year he got traded over to the Astros and had his best power year. And it was this, I can't remember, they called it the Ocular or whatever. Basically what it was a pitching machine that fired tennis balls, and he would write numbers on it. And, you know, you would just call out a number, and that's, you'd only swing at tennis balls that had that number on it. And he said it improved his vision to where he saw the ball, and it trained him to wait, let the ball get deeper into the zone, and that was his theory on how his power got better. And I watched that in action at spring training. Maybe there's something like that up in Toronto. I don't know, and I don't know, and maybe there's something like that all teams, some, whether it's a machine in the hitting cages, whether it's a new great supplement that's just a great protein powder, I don't know. And maybe it's just the baseball's juice. Do you believe the 87 baseball was juiced? When you know, it sounds like you're old enough to remember those times. Did you think it was juiced back in 87 when guys like Kevin Seitzer were hitting 20-plus home runs, when Wade Boggs was hitting 20-plus home runs? Do you think it's that kind of thing, that the owners are manipulating the game to drive revenue because home runs sell, that they're going to go out and manipulate the baseball?
It could be. I obviously have no real evidence either way, but getting back to 87, I mean, I've heard from players who played back then, who say, yeah, there was definitely something weird with the ball. Because like you mentioned, you had a guy like Wade Boggs who would traditionally hit, you know, 6 to 8 homers a year because he was, you know, a singles and doubles guy, and that year he hit 24. And then you had these mid-range power guys like Brooke Jacoby of the Indians who hit more than 30. It's funny, I was looking the other day at the home run leaders from 87, maybe the top 20 or so, and I'd say 80 to 85% of them had their career high in homers in 87. Mm-hmm. And the most interesting thing was not the traditional power guys like a Dale Murphy, who would normally hit, you know, 35, 36 homers, hit 44 that year, or Andre Dawson, who hit 49. it was these mid-range guys who made it interesting, who would previously have a career high of 10 and would hit 25 and 87. So that was another year where they never really figured out what the deal was. But like I said, players believe that the ball was different, but baseball has never come out and said anything, and no one's ever had any kind of definitive answer. But the prevailing theory is a juiced ball, but in exactly how it was juiced and who juiced it, no one's really figured that out. And it's possible that could be happening again this season in some fashion. But one thing also to consider, just to play devil's advocate, is that we have so much data available to us now. The players, the managers, teams have just so much data about pitch trajectory and guys' tendencies and, you know, swing angles and launch angles. And it could be that just all this data coming together has led to new teaching practices and philosophies, and guys are just making these slight tweaks that people, you know, the average fan or media member wouldn't really notice with the naked eye. But if you really broke it down, you might see that they're just have made these slight changes in their approach or in their stance, and that could be what's paying off. But I have no idea for the reason, but I'm an offense guy. I would much rather watch a 12-10 slugfest than a 1-0 pitcher still. That's just how I am. I've always been that way. So I don't mind all these homers. And I've seen some articles ask the question, are too many homers being hit? Are all these homers making baseball less fun? I think it's the opposite. I would love to see a game that had, you know, 7 or 8 homers. I just think that's what makes baseball exciting, is offense. So I would be opposed to anything to any kind of effort to re-engineer the ball to make it less lively. I kind of like things the way they are.
I do too. I'll take either one. I like a great pitcher's duel. I don't want to see a pitcher's duel every night. But I'm with you. If I had to take one or the other, I'd take the offensive side of the game, because it gives it a little something to it. Do we think that you know, let's assume everything's on the up and up. I appreciate you entertaining that, because I get a lot of people when I bring that up that are just like, oh God, no, that's not it. And so I appreciate that. Let's assume everything's on the up and up. If these guys aren't going to hit 50 home runs, who is the next guy to hit 50 home runs in your mind?
Wow. That's an interesting question, because, you know, it was funny. Back in the late 70s, you had George Foster hit, I think, 52 in 1977, and then nobody hit 50 until Cecil Fielder hit 51 in 1990. And then after that was when the steroids really came in, and 50 stopped being impressive, really, and became kind of expected. And you'd have a guy hit 50 homers, and he would finish fourth or fifth in the league that year. Or you'd have a guy hit 40 homers, which in many years would lead the league, and he would finish 10th in the league. I don't know. I could see a guy like Aaron Judge legitimately hitting 50 homers, because, as we mentioned a couple of times, he's a huge guy. Or a lot of it might depend on a player getting off to a hot start and playing in a hitter-friendly stadium like Coors Field or Wrigley Field or something like that. So to answer your question, I don't have one guy
right.
who I could say definitely could be the guy. But if, like, let's say we get to the end of this season and you have one or two guys finish with 50 and all these other guys have kind of leveled off, it wouldn't really pique my attention that much. I would think, well, that's probably okay. But if we have a year where if we finish this year and there's 5 or 6 guys with 50 homers and you got 150 guys with 20-plus homers, then we might be in for another kind of crazy era of long balls. But I think there's any number of guys who could potentially hit 50 homers, just because players are so much stronger these days. Pitchers are throwing harder, so the contact, the exit velocity, which is a big thing people talk about, that's going to be higher. So balls are just going to go farther, just given the natural evolution of the game. So I think any number of guys could hit 50 homers.
Yeah, I like Trout, I like Harper, and I like Stanton, the three big names. These guys, look, are obviously candidates to do it, like you said. And you pointed out in the piece, and Curtis asked it for our end-of-the-hour question about McGuire's 49 is the record. He broke Frank Robinson's for 38. And then, of course, you mentioned also Pujols had 37. That's been the best rookie total since Mark McGuire's 49. All three of those guys were prodigious home run hitters. But Pujols and Robinson never did get to 50. McGuire did. But I think Harper and Trout have just the raw, pure talent to be Mays-like, you know, to be those kind of guys, Mantle-like, and have a 50 home run season as Trout, you know, gets more and more knowledge of the game, and you know he's a guy that, you know, if he'll quit sliding head first, could get it done. You know, in a healthy season, I think his home run totals are going to just start blowing people away because I think he's the ultimate natural talent out there. He and Bryce Harper are just those sick natural talents that just have that incredible ability to do anything on the field. Trout, really anything when you talk about defense as well. And we're talking to Jason Foster here on the Sprint Guest Line. Isn't it funny? You mentioned the Rockies. No one. We were talking about the team records because Mike Moustakas is obviously on pace for the Royals' pathetic team record for home runs in a season of 36. No one in a Rockies uniform's ever hit 50. Isn't that amazing?
That is kind of amazing, especially when you combine steroid era numbers with some of the guys who have played there: Galarraga, Larry Walker, Todd Helton. I mean. Yeah, that's quite surprising.
I mean, it is, and you know, likewise, you could say almost that no one's hit 400 too. Now 400 is a little bit of a joke, but you know, back when Larry Walker was popping 350s and Dante Bichette was coming out of nowhere and doing that, you know, because the fences are far, which creates a huge outfield, which has a lot of gaps. So there's offense all around to be had there with Colorado. I always thought that was interesting. Mike Moustakas, you know, you follow the game obviously all around in the history of the game. What do you think of his chances? Forget about getting to 50, of getting to 36 in a Royals uniform this year.
Well, I think with a lot of guys, it's just going to be a matter of staying healthy and, you know, not getting beaten down by the grind and that kind of thing. And also, in some cases, not always, but in some cases, if the team itself is having a poor season, that can kind of drag down a player's individual performance. So it could be a case of how the Royals go, Moustakas will go. I haven't checked his latest numbers. Where's he at homer-wise now?
He's at 19.
I would say he's got a good shot at it, again, as long as he stays healthy and as long as pitchers don't, you know, start pitching around him or anything. But anytime you talk about these counting stats or these accumulation stats where guys are trying to attain a certain number, it's all going to be about consistency. And for him, he's going to have to get good pitches to hit, first of all, and then recognize those good pitches and put good swings on them. And sometimes guys can keep that going, it seems like, indefinitely. Other times guys will go through stretches where they can do that for a couple months and then they trail off for a month. So it's an interesting question with Moustakas. I would say if I were a betting man, I would say he's probably 50-50 right now to match that. So either way, it wouldn't surprise me.
We're talking right now with Sporting News Major League Baseball editor Jason Foster on our Sprint Guest Line. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery, Bass Pro Shop Instant Tickets, where you can win up to $25,000 instantly. Go to kslottery.com to see details. Just four quickies for you, Jason. You tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's it like working with Mike DeCourcy? I know you guys aren't in the office together that much. I'm sure you guys are all out of your spot, but you have to get together at some point. Mike DeCourcy, great college basketball insider for our morning show, The Border Patrol. I'm just curious, scale of 1 to 10, what is it working with Mike DeCourcy?
Oh, that's a 10, no question. He's a total pro, super easy to work with, super nice guy, no issues with him whatsoever.
We love DeCourcy. He does a fantastic job for the guys in the morning, and I love when he gets animated and fired up. So, all right, Hosmer's contract. He's going to get a new contract this offseason. We're taking a pulse on guys from everywhere. What do you think that's going to look like, years and dollars, total dollars?
I would say 3-year deal, $36 million, let's say.
All right. So not making the $50 million qualifying number for draft pick compensation. So good to know. All right. Who's the next 600 home run hitter?
Huh. That is tough.
Pools did it.
I don't know. There's not really any guys that close who have a shot to make it. After Pujols did.
Miggy's next at 455, I think he hit last night here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, he would be the obvious choice, but he's still, I mean, it seems like at 455 he's getting close, but that's still a long way to go. And he's had some injury issues lately, so it might even be a stretch for him to get there. So I don't know. Maybe a guy like like Trout, assuming he stays healthy, you know, plays another 15 years or so, will do it. But I wouldn't even say that Cabrera is a certainty at this point.
Okay, I'll put you down for Trout. And, of course, you know, it's just for fun. Finally, and most importantly, you're an App State grad, I read. Ever heard of Blair Kirchhoff?
I have not.
You've never heard of the great Blair Kirchhoff?
I have not.
he's an App State grad. You sure? Blair Kirchhoff, K-E-R-K-H-O-F-F?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, good, good. That's awesome. That's great. I will play this when Blair is on next. Blair writes for the Kansas City Star and has for many, many years, so there's no reason for him to be in your wheelhouse. College columnist for the Kansas City Star comes on with us, in fact, every Thursday. So I will play this for him tomorrow, and you've made me very happy. I want you to know that, Jason.
Well, I'm sure he's never heard of me either. So.
Jason, hey, great stuff, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again down the road soon.
My pleasure. Take care.